This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Rob Merchant from White Castle Vineyards in Wales. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, thanks, Chris. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm excellent. I'm actually very excited to have my second Welsh person on the show ever. We had the guys from Anchor Hill a wee while ago on, probably about 10 years ago.
Right.
But it's Welsh Wine Week, so it'd be morally wrong not to have a Welshman on.
It would.
Especially, you guys have been doing very well. You've had some pretty good wins and some competitions and things
like that.
Thank
you, yes, we have. Yeah, we're very pleased with the way the results are going at the minute.
Yeah, so just listeners, your Pinot Noir last vintage, what vintage was that?
So that was 2018 vintage.
2018, gold at Decanter.
So 2021, yeah.
Yeah, and this current vintage?
2019, silver.
Silver, yeah. So nice and consistent. And I always tell people about UK wines, English wines normally. Not, I don't normally talk about Welsh wines like this, but I normally say, you know, when it comes to English wine, if you're going to buy a red, try before you buy because it's likely going to be pretty bad. And do you know what? I was at your stand because we're at the London Wine Fair at the moment. I was at your stand. I've tried four reds of varying grape varieties, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe Wales is the place for the red wines.
It's been a big surprise for us to be known as a red wine producer, to be honest.
Yeah.
Is pretty much where we are. It's, we grow four red varieties now. So we've got Pinot Noir Precoce, the early ripening Pinot. We have Rondo and Regent, and then Cabernet Franc.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to try your Cabernet Franc. I'm a huge Cabernet Franc fan.
Yeah, so that's going to... First vintage will be cropped this year. So, yeah we're really excited.
I might I might try and source myself one of those because I really like Cabernet Franc. And it's one of those weird grape varieties. No one ever talks about it, but it can be quite a nice grape.
I think as a single variety, it's great, but it also as a blending wine, it just gives... It will bring so many different options to our business and our wines, if you like.
We do it as a single or as a blend?
Primarily, I'd love to do it as a single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just see how it turns out.
Chinon sort of style, just with our little Welsh twist on it, you know. And yeah, that's the sort of thing I'd like to do. So we'll see how the season unravels.
Okay. So tell us, where is your vineyard?
So we're based in just outside Abergavenny, a little village called Llanfethrin, which is between Abergavenny and Ros-on-Wye.
Yeah, and to me, I've got no Scooby. The way you described it, I got was if you come in from London on the M4,
yep.
First big town you hit is Newport, and you go north of Newport. How far north of Newport?
25 miles.
Yeah, so north of Newport, but well before you hit Cardiff.
Oh, yes, yeah. So we've got a real little microclimate where we are. So you spoke about Anchor Hill there, 10 miles from me, but we're east of all the mountains. And if you think of the southwest, there's been the prevailing wind and rain around Wales. So we're actually under the rain cloud, so we get a different climate.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I've been to Wales on holiday and it was wet.
Yeah,
it was during the dry season.
That's it, yeah. Further west, it gets wet, so so this time east is best, like, you know, instead of west. So,
There is quite a lot of vineyards in Wales on that east side, isn't it? That does seem to be where they're, you know, around Monmouthshire.
Yeah, there's six now in Monmouthshire, I think it is. Then jump, then sort of bit of, you've got to scoot around Hereford, then you get into Montgomery, there's two vineyards there, then you're getting up Denby, there's a couple of new vineyards planted around there. So it's that east side of the country that's really given us the quality of wines, if you like.
Yeah
because of just the climates.
Yeah, it's drier. And I suppose it helps as well, because if you're too wet, you know, you can deal with disease and rain, except for during harvest or getting close to harvest, but it costs a lot of money, you know, in terms of sprays and things like that.
Yeah.
So the drier, the better.
It is, and you think last year, the UK, there was a lot of humidity around the UK, wet and warm. We just had it warm. We didn't have no rain. It was just, we had no downy mildew, powdery mildew. It was a real successful year for us in that difficult period last year in the UK. So,
okay, cool.
Good. Yeah, we're excited at the minute.
We'll drill into your vineyard in a bit of detail in a minute, but we touched on sort of a lot of vineyards in the east of Wales, but how many vineyards are there in Wales and where are they all?
So I'd say there's about 40 vineyards, totaling about 70 hectares. at the minute.
40 vineyards, it's
70 hectares.
So they're still quite small, 1.5 hectares per vineyard.
Yeah,
two hectares.
When you think some of those vineyards might be 200 or 300 vines. Yeah. And then we've got Ankale, 35,000, something like that, 30 acres, 35,000 vines.
How big's your vineyard?
So we're 3.5 hectares.
Yeah.
So 10,000 vines. Just put 3,000 in now, 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, we won't get a lot bigger. Maybe a little bit, but nothing too much, because for me it's all about that quality. What we can manage ourselves, quality.
So do you do everything yourself? What's your wife's called?
Nicola.
Here? Nicola. Nicola. Yeah. Is she the lady I was talking on the stage?
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So it's her first time at London Wine Fair. I think she's enjoyed the experience.
Yep. I bet she'll have tired feet.
She has got tired feet.
I'm wearing gym shoes, mate.
But nah, it's so we have quite a varied size of vineyard. They're going right around the peripheral. So when you go from Monmouth, so you jump in, you said Cardiff, so just jump into Glamorgan. So the Vale of Glamorgan, just west of Cardiff, you'll have 4 or 5 around there. Then you're going to jump then all the way to Carmarthenshire, a couple around there, then into Pembrokeshire.
That?
That's the coast, that's Tenby area, that okay. sort of area. Yeah, yeah.
Where it's proper wet.
You're proper wet, yeah. Beautiful beaches, beautiful places, but yeah, it can be a bit challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're going up the coast then to, you've got Aberaeron on, so you're going up that up the Preseli's then, going up, and then big jump then to North Wales.
Yep.
Bit on Anglesey, there's one or two on Anglesey, then you can start coming back around then to East Wales, if you like. So,
is there many vineyards in North Wales? I've heard of a few, but...
1, 2, 3, say 6.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so not a huge number, but yeah. I was talking to one of your colleagues here. He's just planted his vineyard. I couldn't quite remember his name. Do you remember who he was?
Alex.
Alex, yes. He's just planted a vineyard.
He's just planted about an acre and a half, I think.
He said he wasn't going to plant it. He wanted to do an urban winery and just buy grapes in, but he said he just couldn't get them because there's a shortage of grapes in Wales.
There's nobody can produce enough grapes, to be honest. It's somebody just came to me about our Pinot Noir. I'm honest, if I had 10,000 bottles, I'd have sold it today. You know, it's the demand is massive. I've done some work for Welsh Government as a mentor for diversification in agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to people now about planting vines to grow on contract for other producers, not so much myself, because we just want estate wine. But, you know, I can get rid of a lot of grapes for a lot of people. We just need the volume.
Yeah. And the main styles of wine, because we talked about your reds, and that's, you know, your Pinot Noir particularly, but your Rondo was pretty good, your Regent was all right as well. Is it the reds? Is it the sparkling? What is it? It seems to be quite a range of varietals as well. Not like over here in England, they're drilling down into the Chardonnay, the Pinot Noir, and a Meunier, bit of Bacchus as well. But there seems to be a lot of those more the grape varieties that was in England maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, but they're also so you're talking of Solaris, Phoenix, Orion, Regent, Rondos. They're good, yeah. It's not what was planted 20 years ago, because you're now looking at how we manage disease. So they're a bit more disease resistant because they're hybrids.
Yeah.
So they're going to step forward a little bit more as we go forward in the way the world is evolving, if you like. And it's great for us to be able to forge our own identity in terms of wines. So, you know, we could quite easily get sucked into the sparkling wine, as you say, in the southeast, the Meunier, the Noir, the Chardonnays. But as long as they just keep producing quality, I think it gives us a little uniqueness to what we do. And, yeah, we've got Anchor Hill, big sparkling wine producer. We just happened to hit on a site that's just produced red wine brilliantly. So, you know, it just grows brilliant black grapes. So as a group of vineyards, we're not standing on each other's toes. It's not overly competitive in that way. We all have our uniqueness to keep us in the marketplace.
There doesn't seem to be, like, you know, England settled on sparkling wine and maybe a little bit of Bacchus and sometimes a little bit of Chardonnay as well as the sort of the styles of wines that seem to be dominating it, or more importantly, economical as well. You know, driving a profit, which is, we're all in business to make a little bit of money.
Yes, we are.
And the nice thing about sparkling wine is the margins are a little bit better for sparkling wine than still wines historically. How are you guys going with that? You know, obviously you'll be able to charge a premium for your Pinot Noirs from now on with your history that you've got in the competitions.
Yeah, I think because we're small producers, we have to focus on quality in the higher end, if you like. So independent wine shops, you know, for us it's about Michelin-starred restaurants and the likes of five-star hotels and stuff like that is where our wines are going. So it does ease the back pocket a little bit, but you're not going to compete on that cheap and cheerful.
No.
So and for people that think they're going to get a return on that, then don't even think about it. I would say to people, it's difficult. It's a long-term investment. Just focus on quality. The return will become better. Quicker than trying to cut the price and think you're going to be on a supermarket shelf, because we just can't compete in that little market.
Do you think it's supermarket shelves? There's a lot of volume required just to put a bottle on every Tesco store.
Yeah. Look, over the years, there's nothing wrong with supermarkets, okay, in terms of that allows to learn about wine and work at that. But I have to say, when Waitrose came knocking on our door and Tesco's and their payment terms were pretty good, and I could pick and choose where I wanted it, basically. They were from one shop to 10 shops to 20 shops, you know. So there was options available to me, but it was just, I didn't want to be in that market. I will never say never, but right now it's just not where White Castle Vineyard will be.
So you said you're targeting the restaurants trade. Is that it, just the restaurant trade, or are you looking at some independents?
Independents. So we have a good few independents in England, and high-end delis in around Wales. But so it's that sort of market, the Michelin-starred restaurants, the higher-end eateries, that they can command the price for the wines with their food, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, that's where we want to be, really.
Okay, no, that sounds cool. And what about the other producers in Wales? Where are they sort of pitching it up? You know, you said you've got these different grape varieties.
So...
No, Schlumberger. You haven't mentioned Schlumberger. That's a.
I know of one plant in the Schlumberger. Yeah. It's on a little small vineyard called the Dell Vineyard, which is about an acre and a half. They've planted a few more vines now, but it was about an acre and a half, and there's a little bit there. I think if you look, there's probably four, maybe five larger vineyards that are looking at the commercial market, if you like. From there, most people are just selling through their cellar door then.
Yeah.
So it's the little tourism business and a bit of wine through the cellar door, which is great for them.
Yeah.
And for those people that are our size and a bit bigger, then, we're looking at different markets, you know. So.
Do you see much Welsh wine being exported? I saw a statistic that said that about 8% of UK wine is exported, which I was surprised at how much that is. That's from a couple of years ago. But is there any export markets for Welsh wine?
We've had the opportunity, but now it's so difficult. And I don't need the grief and the effort because the demand is about four times the ability to supply with us at the minute. So do I need the worry of sending wine abroad? No, I don't. We used to put some white wine into the City de Vin in Bordeaux.
Yep.
But that's, since Brexit, we've just ceased that because it's just so such hard work.
Okay. And finally, there's a grouping of Welsh producers, and you guys have had some funding from the government, I understand, because we're at Wine Fair, and there's the GB stand, GB Wines, and then there's the Welsh Wine stand as well. Because I went looking for you guys at the Wine GB stand. I said, this will be where you are. And they're like, where's the Welsh guys?
They got the big stand over there. Yeah. So in Wales, we're very fortunate that our government sees food and drink as one of the larger employment strands, if you like, in the UK, or in Wales, I should say. So we have a drinks cluster, and that's broken down like the soft drinks, beer and cider, spirits and, you know, the gins and the whiskies, and then wine is a special interest group. So they give us a bit of support for marketing, so they've paid for our stand space today, or for the 3 days. They've had the stand built. All we had to do was get our wines to a central point. They've conveyed everything in, built the stand, so it's... Yeah, it's a great bit of support from our government. It really is.
Do you think is that going to be a long-term bit of support, or is it more of a fledgling start-up type of situation?
So I just retired as chairman from the Welsh Vineyard Association, but in 2016 I started talking to Welsh government to get them to understand that we're a valid strand of agriculture. first and foremost, and then it flicks over into tourism and everything else. So it's a right cross section of attraction to Wales, and from there, so they paid for us for 2018, 2019, 2020, I think it was 2021, the digital experience of the show, and then they've committed to this, and I've just been talking to them about making it a longer term investment to just for the promotion of Welsh wine.
Yeah. And why are you at the London Wine Fair, just out of curiosity?
For me, it's quite, I feel quite privileged to be on the stage with some very, very big producers and some great producers from around the world. I'd like a stockist in central London, because a lot of my business is London visitors, and it would be great to have a stockist in central London, to be honest. So that's why we're here primarily.
Yep.
And getting the story out, you know, 67 Pall Mall have been very good to us. They've been filming us a lot lately and communicating with us and broadcasting on their shows and stuff. But we just need that one or two stockists in central London, which would be awesome.
Cool. All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there, Rob. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris.